I'm told that one of the great football coaches of all time started each football season by gathering all the guys together, and he said, "This is a football. It measures this much and this much, and the particular shape allows it to be thrown in such a way that it can spiral." And you're saying, "You're kidding. These people have been playing football all their lives. Why did he start like that?" He says, he always starts with the basics and reminds us of what this is all about, see. So I thought this was a nice devotional dealing with intercession. My God will hear me. We're at the basics. This is why we pray. This is not us praying that is the exercise. It is God hearing that is the whole point of this, you see. Isaiah 30:18-19. "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." Exalted by you, you see. He will wait on you. He will wait for you to exalt him, that he may have mercy upon you. "For the Lord, Jehovah, is a God of judgment," justice. "Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." He's looking ahead after all the Babylonian captivity. He's looking ahead to the millennial kingdom when Christ returns. God was not done with them. God was disciplining them. God was purifying them. But in all of this, "when he shall hear it, he will answer thee." And this is the very essence of our prayer. These verses start Isaiah's section in verses 18 to 33 concerning God's future blessings. The topic has two parts. Our text falls in the first part, verses 18 to 26, that predict Israel will cry out to God while he is chastening them, and that God will hear and answer their cry. In the final analysis of this, it's during the tribulation period, the time that God calls the time of Jacob's trouble, of all the people that suffer in the tribulation period, and that will be everyone on planet Earth, it will be the Jews that will suffer the most. And yet even then, he will answer their cry. The final answer, the final desperation cry, is to save their very lives from the attack of Antichrist and the troops. And Christ returns at that time. He will deliver them from their oppressors, purge them from their sins, and pour out unparalleled material blessings. From being the lowest on that totem pole to being the ruling nation, and in a wonderful, blessed place. This looks forward to the end of the tribulation period when Jesus Christ returns in glory and in wrath on evil. The old cowboy stories where the evil Native Americans were surrounding the fort, and shooting the fire arrows in, burning the place down, and then, I guess that's a Lone Ranger. But anyway, the trumpet blows and the cavalry arrive and drive away the marauding Indians. Christ comes in and just lays the enemy flat. Old Testament examples of God hearing prayer. We have the examples. We know this is what God intended to do. Genesis 35:3. "Let us arise, go up to Bethel," Jacob tells his group, "and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress." Remember the time when God answered in your day of distress. Remember answered prayer. Not just remembering to pray, but remember answered prayer. I like to review all the times that I've gone to God and he has answered me, and I've seen some remarkable things. And I review that as I go to prayer, because my mind, my heart is in a spirit that is full of faith and belief. Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Psalm 17:6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. It's not just I'm calling and nobody's listening. For thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Psalm 99:8, thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. You didn't like what they were doing, but you forgave them. Micah 7:7, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will look unto Jehovah, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. New Testament teaching of God hearing prayer, 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in, or concerning, him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What we're looking for is for him to hear us. Now, in one sense, of course, God hears everything, God knows everything, but this is giving us a hearing. This is the idea. This is acceptable to him, you see. It's in his will. The power of prayer rests in connecting with the God who hears us. He's really there. The faith of powerful prayer must believe that God hears it. So when you say in faith, my God will hear me, then nothing will keep you from prayer. If you can feel this, if you can sense this, if you can, grab a hold of this, you know that what you cannot do on earth, God can do from heaven. See? I'm at the ending here. I'm at the end of this. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how I can proceed. I have to go to God. All right, let me just give you some points of thought. Number one, there we go. God can do from heaven. Number one, my God will hear me. What a blessed certainty. As we've just seen, the testimony through the ages is that God has heard and answered prayer. Confess to him how little you have believed and counted on this truth. When we say things like, well, the only thing we can do now is pray, we're really looking at it the wrong way. If that is, in fact, all we can do, it's going to be a very powerful prayer. Secondly, my God will hear me. What a wondrous grace. A gift of grace. Grace is a gift. Grace is empowering us. God sits in transcendent majesty beyond this universe, beyond time itself. He is in incomprehensible glory, and yet he listens to us. This is just, almost unbelievable. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, God says. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. When God brings you to this passage in the Bible, he is talking to you. If you are his child, he shall call upon me, I will answer him. This is God speaking to you. This is the living word. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I mentioned this to my brother when that first week he was stressing out because he didn't have the money. And before I could give the prayer request, he was able to write back saying, and I was able to share that night, that God had already answered that prayer. Now, God knows everything. To him, time is not necessarily sequential, although he can see it that way. But knowing that we would pray, knowing that that was our concern, knowing that our hearts would pray that, he answered it before we asked. I said, I was very impressed with that. He says, so was I. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty. And the word mighty could be even hidden things, which thou knowest not. We sometimes ask for the apparent answer to our prayers, things that would be obvious. God sometimes answers with the mighty or even the hidden things. The third thought is this, my God will hear me. What a deep mystery. Ephesians 1:11-12 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, notice this, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things after the counsel. He takes counsel of his own will. What do I want to happen? And that will determine what will happen. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted or hoped in Christ. If he is working all things according to his will, where does prayer fit in? What a deep mystery. If God chose to give believers his inheritance before he created man and works all things after his own counsel, how can prayer make any difference? Well, since God's will is unalterable, why pray? Well, here is a great truth. While God's purposes are unknown to us, his promises are clear. You don't have to worry about this stuff. This is for him to work out. He has said, I will answer your prayer. I will hear and answer. That's all we need to know, you see. His purposes are unknown. His promises are clear. He commanded us to pray, and he promised to answer. The fourth thought is this, my God will hear me. What a solemn responsibility. Here is the end of complaining. Do you experience uncertainty, feebleness, or failure of your life and work? Do you miss eyes when you're dropping things into them? Ask my friend Nancy at school to drop. I'm having the cataract surgery tomorrow. And they got my, I don't know, vitamins, minerals, or I don't know what it is, medicine stuff in preparation for it. So she hit an eyelid, and then she got it in the right one. She wasn't a failure. My wife tried it, and she didn't even drop anything out. Did I get it? No. You got to get it where there's some light. You can see, actually. So, are you feeling that things became a failure? Bathe these in prayer. The procedure of prayer purifies your motives. We know we have to ask according to his will. We know that we don't want to spend these benefits on our own self. This is not a selfish thing. All is well. Our work is to depend upon and call upon God. We have this prayer outlet, solemn responsibility. Again, my God will hear me. What a blessed promise. No personal failure came from lack of prayer. We should know that. Think of the potential for you personally and for Open Door Baptist Church. What could not be done? What could be limited if we pray? What will God accomplish in this, our hour of darkness, when society reels drunkenly from the cumulative results of sin? What might God accomplish if the world saw one lone person who connected with God? Suddenly, their eyes are open to possibilities they never considered. Their burdened conscience finds an outlet. And the last one is this: my God will hear me. What an example of the need for divine teaching. This is not something that people know automatically, see. Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. The disciples see Jesus praying and they say, you know, I don't pray like that. But I would like to. I'd like to understand that concept. So especially in times of desperation, we need a vision of Jesus faithfully praying to his Father. Jesus, God himself, praying to God the Father. If he needed it, don't we? We need to see his dependence on God by prayer. In his manhood, everything depended on his prayer. Let us come to him to learn the one necessary thing is more prayer, believing prayer, intercessory prayer. Let's learn that.